something about us. And the main text that we'll be reading from the scriptures is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, from verse 1 to verse 5. And we're going to examine that this church in Macedonia, the Macedonian, because of the strength of their commitment, they could not wait to share what God had given them. We want to examine, church, what motivated these people, the Macedonians? Why would they want to give and give so much to God? They held back nothing at all. As Brother O'Neill said also this morning, it is a way of demonstrating. Giving is a way of demonstrating our commitment to God. Is a way of demonstrating our love to God. And in our religion, you know, Fabian, God himself gives. Am I right, church? God himself has given so much to us. God himself is a model for the church to follow. What has God given us? God has given us physical and material blessings. Sometimes the man in the world doesn't even recognize that God is giving him blessings. Have you ever had animals that you are feeding them food, Michael, and they look up back to where the food was coming from? And then you have some animals, you know, Michael, they don't look to where the food was coming from. They're just eating the food. So, material blessings that we have, church, physical blessings that we have, it is God who has given us these blessings. Acts chapter 14 and verse 17 says, "Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good. God did good and gave us rain from heaven, and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." You know, when we realize, and these things that we call basic needs, but church, sometimes men believe that they have become so modern that they don't recognize that it is coming from a source. Let us have a little joke now, and you realize where everything is coming from. Have a little drought. The problem is not supply side chain. Have a drought and you see how food stops. Just like that, you know, Fabian. If God hold back that rain, we don't have food. All of civilization as we know it would not be the way it is, because God would have held back the rain. We are not too modern to be immune from drought. So God is the one who has given us rain from heaven. Let's be thankful to him now. And he is the one who has given us fruitful seasons. Jamaica is so blessed with so many fruits. Am I right, Vivian? Filling our hearts with food and gladness. The Christians in Macedonia, they recognize this. They recognize this, and that's why they gave the way they did. We need to follow what motivated these Christians. And we are Christians just like them. So that is a pattern. God has given us physical and material blessings. God has given us, church, all spiritual blessings. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and what? Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, who has blessed us with all," he didn't hold back anything from us, you know. "He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." God did not, in God's giving, church, God does not hold back. Are you seeing that from the passage? Everybody turn to that passage now. In his giving, he did not hold back. He gave us all spiritual blessings. I am sure the church in Macedonia thought about that, Fabian. Yes, that is why their giving was of that quality. They realized that God gave them physical blessings. They know that God gave them spiritual blessings. Don't we know the same? Hasn't God given us good jobs? And God has given us food? No one in here is starving. God has given us food and drink. God has given us good jobs. We are able to pay our bills. God has given us all. Because let God take away the health, Vivian, and you see where it's coming from. If he take away the rain, if he take away our health, no workplace is going to keep you forever and ever, eternity, when your health starts to fail. If your health starts to fail, no workplace can keep you. No matter how they love you, no matter how they say, oh, we are family, they're not going to keep you. So if God take away your health, you have nothing. That is a blessing from God. Look, God give us his son, Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and verse 32. In verse 31 it says, what shall we say then to these things? Listen to the verse, you know. If God be for us, who can be what? Against us. No, you probably wonder, why I read verse 31? Because verse 31 is telling us, it doesn't matter what we go through, God is for us. And when he's for us, he gives his entire being to us. Am I correct? He doesn't hold back anything from us. He is for us. And when he's for you, nobody can be against you. We need to have that strong faith. But God is still showing us something in this, you know. Listen to 32 now. He that spared not his own son. When the concept of sparing means that you're holding back something. Am I correct? Yes. You are sparing, you have not given everything. But God gave everything. And the Bible says he spared not his own son. And the Bible says it in a way that it should connect with us. The Bible doesn't say he did not spare his son, no. He did not spare his own son. But what? Delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God is the greatest giver. Even when man turned himself against him, he is always giving. And he's giving with the hope that man will turn to him. Because the goodness of God should lead us to what? Repentance. Am I correct? It's a very good passage to use that you're teaching people. The goodness of God, all of this goodness, he doesn't spare anything. He gives us all of these things through Christ. No. We should learn, church, all God gave, all God gives. And this should be a pattern then to motivate us to give the way we ought to give. So this lesson is hopefully is a lesson to guide us into be more mindful in our giving. We must just give in a sort of, oh, the offering plate is going around now. I'm going to throw something in there. That's not what it is. Am I right here? It is to be a mindful. You are actively saying what you are going to do. It is a deliberate action, Karen. It's not a mindless thing. It is mindful. And it is mindful because when God gave for us, he didn't give in a casual, cavalier, mindless way. Did he? No. He gave in a very mindful way. He thought about what he was going to do for us. Am I right, Sister Andrea? Yes. That is how he gives. Therefore, we come into it now. Therefore, our giving is like what they call a litmus test. Now, those who do chemistry know what a litmus test is. It's this piece of paper. I don't do chemistry so good, but I know what it is. And you use it to test whether the substance is acidic or alkaline. Am I right? Those who do chemistry. And you put it on it, and if it changes a certain color, you know it is acidic. Or if it changes a certain color, you know it is alkaline. And this test, it has some limitations too, but it is generally seen to be accurate. Generally seen to be accurate. And therefore, the English language borrow from this phrase, litmus test. When you say something then is a litmus test, you mean that it is decisive. It is a decisively indicative test. It is something that when you do it, you know for sure, am I right, that this is your attitude, the litmus test. Of everything that we do in Christianity, our giving is a litmus test. Amen. Our giving is a litmus test. Our giving reveals a lot to us, first of all. It ought to reveal a lot to us if we are mindful. So our giving should reveal the type of Christian that I am now. And it reveals to God your attitude. Whether you are very rich or very poor, everybody's on an equal level when it comes to giving. Because it will tell God and tell you your attitude and your level of commitment to God. How you give is a litmus test of our commitment. Is a litmus test of our love. But why is it this litmus test? This didn't come into the Sunday night sermon at all, Brother Vivian. This is completely new to it now. Why is it giving a litmus test? Why God can use it and know for sure where we stand with him? Because a litmus test, you know, it doesn't matter if you say you are the best preacher. It doesn't matter if you say you're doing this in Christianity, your giving now is a litmus test. But why is it so? You know why it is so? And the Bible talks about it a lot. It is so, Vivian, because human beings have a tendency to connect too much. Listen carefully, church. We have a tendency, human beings, to connect too much with our material things. We have this tendency. Even us as Christians, you know, it's a terrible habit, and it's something that we have to be mindful of. Our connection to material, physical things. We tell the man outside the world, that he must become a Christian and he must be more spiritual. But we ourselves must be more mindful and question ourselves each day. Am I very connected to my material things as in contrast to the spiritual things? That is why it's a litmus test. Because when you have this tug of war now in your mind as to what should I do in relation to my giving to the church, as in relation to my stocking up my investment account and my savings account and my saving towards my my house and things like that and my education, when you stack it up against that, how will your giving to the church compare? That's why it is a litmus test. Let us look at Luke chapter 12. And verse 5. Everybody turn to that passage for me. Luke chapter 12 and verse 5. Then he said to them. He said to them. You can say something very important now. Watch out. When you use that word, is it a word of carelessness or a word of caution? Caution. Watch out, Brother Bean. There is some danger coming or something you need to look out for. So we need to watch out. Then he goes further, you know. He didn't just say, watch out, you know. He said, be on your what? Guard. Against all kind, I'm reading from the NIV. Against all kind of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of what? Possessions. That's why the Bible and Christ talk a lot of, in the New Testament, you know, Fabian, a lot about material things, you know. Because he knows how we can be so tied to all material things. If we can, Brother Pierre, if we can let ourselves go of this tying to material things, we instantly become better Christians. Seriously. Because the material things can drag you down. Like a bowl, like you're tied to a bowl and it drag it down into the water. The material things have that tendency. Because everybody wants to be successful. You're comparing yourself with a man out there in the world. You want to have this. You want to have that. But when you want to have this and you want to have that, you're leaving the things of the kingdom undone. The church is being starved for funds. Being starved of funds. And you have the funds. God is not asking you not to look about yourself, you know. But he's asking you to watch him also. He has not spared anything. Why are we starving the church of needed funds? There's so much things that the church needs to be done. So many things that we can do, evangelistic effort. But yet the church has been starved. Because it might very well be that we are not watching out. It might very well be that we are not on guard. It might very well be that we have bought into Satan's vision. I'm teaching that on Wednesday night, and I'm going to continue on Wednesday night about that. Satan's deceitfulness. That is the Wednesday night lesson. I'm going to continue. Because he has a way of saying to you, more and more and more. Not more and more of spiritual things, you know. More and more and more of material. And the more we have, the more we want. And it has never satisfied us, has it? Never satisfied us. The more we have something, the more miserable you get. I've heard of people, church, who have become wealthy instantly. Sometimes through an inheritance that they get, Brother Wilson, or sometimes they do gambling and they win the lotto, and they get rich instantly. Riches and happiness, it does not equate. Sometimes when they get rich instantly, that's the time their family life mash up and everything go crazy for them. So, but Satan want us to buy into the vision, church, that the more money we have, the more car we have, the more clothes we have. Sometimes we have clothes and we never wear some of them. You live in a big house, sometimes they use some of the rooms. Some people are like, it's true. Some people live in estate, you have one room. You can't live in all the rooms at the same time. You have clothes and you have to give away the clothes. You don't even know which clothes you have. But abundance of things does not give you happiness. And this eagerness to get abundance of things at the expense of when we are starving the church will cause our souls to be lost. I'm not holding back anything from us. We have to be plain, church. Plain speaking. Not pretty speaking, plain. Because we have to secure ourselves eternally. You ever go funeral yet? I'm sure you go funeral. When you go funeral, they put in the people in the hole. You see them dig up him house and put it in the hole with him? Probably one of the pyramids of the Egyptian and the pharaohs did that. You see them put him clothes inside the hole with him? Is money in there? It goes in the hole, Michael? No. him house and him car. Him have all four cars. You see any one of them in the hole with him? Your question is, I could stop the sermon right here. It's not with him. The only person who can go with you beyond the grave is who? Jesus Christ. And they are the only ones that can go beyond the grave with us. So why are we not giving the way we ought to? Look at Mark 4, verse 19. The dangers of material things. And the cares of this world. And they, everybody turn to it. Mark 4 and verse 19. And the cares of this world. Do we have too much cares when we're in worship? Are we thinking about the business that we are running? Is that taking over our minds and it just take us over so? Our workplace, are we thinking about those things while we're worshiping them? So the cares of this world and the riches, did it say riches? What is it, Michael? What is it? It's a riches? And the riches, it's a riches? What does it say? Are you talking too low? What does it say? All right. I'm going to turn the pot for language here with a favor. Yeah, where it say? It say the deceitfulness of what? Riches. The same topic we had on Wednesday night. Satan would like us to believe maybe that the more we have is the better we are. The Macedonian church knew this, that they knew that riches could be deceitful. That is why they gave the way they did. Deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. Enter in. What can it do to us, church? Choke the word. And we become what? Unfruitful. Do we want to become unfruitful? God is not saying it because God wants to give us blessings, you know. Balance everything. God wants us to be successful. But we must balance our lives. We can't stop the church and say, oh, God is good to me. And at the same time, you're starving the church of needed funds. A congregation this size should be able to do so much things. Something not quite right. I'm just being plain. Look at our size. We can't allow, and you, as I said we can't allow riches to choke us and condemn us to hell. We can't. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Everybody turn to that passage for me. When they find it, say amen for me. I want to make sure everybody finds it, or most people find it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, from verse 6 through to verse 10. Find it? Just say find it or amen or something. I can't know you find it. Find it? Good. Everybody is on the same. Look at verse 6. No, we always talk about the love of money is the root of all evil, verse 10. But we must interpret this verse, Vivian, in context. This verse 10 that we always quote, it is in context. And we have to get the context from verse 6. It's really starting from above. But you know what this passage is really saying? That money will fail to give us anything. Money fail to give us anything. But you can say, oh, Brother Gilbert, you can talk. Because I'm so poor, I don't have basic needs. My basic thing to get now is money. I need money. Money will give me everything I want. Money can do some things, yes. But in the morning when I'm going to work, don't be surprised, when I'm going to work in the mornings, I never knew, so the lot of shops, them open so early, you know. They open very early. And sometimes, right at their tour, they open very early. And the people there gather, Michael, from early in the morning, like 7:30, something like past 7, you know, to buy. Because, and you can't tell them about Christianity. They're interested about that. Don't they want to go to the lotto shop and the shop every morning early to win? Yes. And I was in shock again. One day I was in Half a Tree and I wanted phone credit. And somebody said, normally I don't go into those places to buy my phone. I said, you know what? I don't want to go to the place to buy phone credit. No, baby. Somebody see me there buying credit. But I didn't know there's a big shop in Half a Tree, right? The plaza there. You say, we ain't going inside here? I go in there to buy credit. It was an emergency. I need to get the credit. When I go in there, I see the machine there early. They're using casino. And inside here, cool and pretty. And the machines them, and the people them, and people from all walks of life. We can look at the radio, bigger class, upper class, everybody there gambling. Because they want the salvation that money gives them. That's a sure laugh. No, but money don't give salvation. It doesn't give salvation at all. But we are after it. It doesn't give what they say it wants. Verse 6, somebody said this morning, if it's Earl or if it was O'Neill, I think it was Earl in his prayer. But godliness with what? Contentment is great gain. God wants his people to be content. He will be successful. Of course he wants to be successful. Of course he wants you to have the investment account with Barita Investment or wherever it is. He wants to have the investment account with the banks. He wants to accumulate, yes. But don't starve the church. So contentment is great gain. Look at verse 7. For we brought nothing into the world. You come in the world with something? No. We brought nothing into the world. And it is what? I love what you say, sister. Say it loud again for me. It is what? It is certain. As it is certain that we can carry nothing out. We don't have to wait until funeral, you know, we know that's the reality of mankind. We can carry nothing out. Verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us there with content, no? Give God what I'm supposed to get. Verse 9, but they that will be rich. I'm going to read it wrong. I correct me something, Michael. I'm going to read it wrong, this verse, and then you correct me. But they that are rich, did it say that? That will be what? But they that are rich. So it say? But they that will be rich. You know what that means now, Vivian? It doesn't matter, it's not that they are rich or poor. But they that have a mindset to become what? Rich. Because you have people who are rich, you know. Wealthy as they come, and they still want more money. One day I was somewhere, and this person, I think, highly up this person in terms of his success. Is somebody who thinks that he's very successful, Fabian. Somebody who thinks that has everything materially, not spiritually, materially, you would want. And church, I was in shock. It shocked me so much that I couldn't think about it for that's the only thing I was thinking of for the day. Now, you're talking about somebody now who have money. We're not talking about an ordinary rich person here. We talk about a person you would say is a millionaire, church, who have money, houses. And I passed the person's desk. And I saw the person around it. You know what the person was filling out? Guess. Somebody said, yeah, somebody said low. Where the person was filling out? Lotto. Michael, I was in shock. This person don't need money. You see, oh, Satan can, it's money coming like sea water. It can't really quench your what? Your thirst. But you want more and more and more. But it just cannot quench our thirst. Mr. Sharon, I was shocked. I couldn't believe it that the person was buying lotto and feeling what they're saying. He don't need it. So the passage is not talking about the rich. The passage talks about the person who have the attitude. But they that will be rich, as I said, they that will be rich, they fall into what? Temptation and a snare. Snare is not something good, you know. It's holding you back in life. And that Satan using our money, using our success against us, he is terrible. When come, don't miss Wednesday night. Don't miss this Wednesday night coming. He's terrible. And don't let God bless him. When God bless you, don't make Satan use it against you. When God bless you, use it for the church. Use it for the church. I'm begging. We have to beg ourselves. Use it for the church. Into many, and we fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown us. It drown men in destruction and perdition. So the verse 10, no, that's for the love of money, the root of all evil, is coming from that context. It's not a passage just read in isolation. It's coming from the context that money cannot give you what you want. For the love of money is a root of all what? Evil, which while some covet it after, they have heard from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. This passage, this verse, this sermon could also be titled, you know, what our non-giving says about us. Right, Fabia? It could be titled that too, you know, what our non-giving says about us. We need to not let Satan ensnare us, because material blessings can do so much and no more. Money make it comfortable, yes. But see it for what it is. Use it as a servant. Don't let it become a slave to money and material things. Don't become a slave to those things, because our giving is a litmus test. Now, let us look now at the passage of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 5. Let us examine how these people gave. Remember, you know, what motivates them is how God gave. What motivates them is a healthy relationship to money. They know what money is supposed to be. And that is what's going to help them to give the way they give. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. Verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, we want to tell you about the grace of God, which has been evident in the churches of Macedonia, awaiting them a longing to contribute. The writer of this epistle was so excited about how these people gave. He says, I want to tell you about them, because it is so evident what they have done. They have shown evidence of their commitment to God. We can do the same. Verse 2. For during an ordeal of severe distress, their abundant joy and their deep poverty together overflowed in the wealth of their lavish generosity. No, it is so strange, O'Neill, that the writer put together two things that we normally would not put together. He put together what? Abundant what? Joy with deep what? Poverty. They were not rich people, you know. But there was a need for them to help the Jerusalem church. Am I correct? Church of Jerusalem. And they rose to the occasion, Vivian. They arose with abundant joy, although they were in deep poverty. Verse 3. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave voluntarily. That is what God wants us to do, you know. Because we have work to do at Patrick City. We don't want to tie up our hands and feet when we have things to be done. So these people know they gave beyond, you know, beyond their ability. Can you imagine that, church? Verse 4, begging us. I want to talk about that word begging. It did not go the other way. It's not, it didn't take Fabian or Brother Mitchell or Michael or any of the brothers here coming to this pulpit begging the Christian to do certain things. It was the other way around. It was the Christians in Macedonia who were begging them to take their money. Striking it. They are the one. Remember that poor, you know, poor. When I say the word poor, I remember when I was walking at exam people for econ, one girl, we asked a girl, what is poverty? She said, sir, poverty is where you have to eat the dirt. You're dirt poor. We said, Fabian, when I'm barking that paper, I had to stop. We had to stop barking that paper for quite a while. And there were about 10 minutes of just laughter. Because she said, sir, I don't know which is it, you know, barking paper. Poverty is where you're dirt poor. You have to eat the dirt. Well, these people only were dirt poor. And although they were dirt poor, they were such in poverty. They were still begging. And they were begging in a certain way. Verse 4 says, they beg us insistently. There was no push from any pulpit to ask them, come in, help the Sunday school class, put things towards it. What we call it now, favor, like we call it, I call it the pantry, you know, put it in the pantry. Help us with this, help us with that. No. They are the ones who are begging and begging us insistently. Why would they do this? For the privilege of what? Participating in the service for the support of the saints in Jerusalem. They want to be a part of that. You know why they want to be a part of that? Because they know true value. I think Earl said, it's either Earl or O'Neill. They know true, I know it was you who said it, when you're coming and the giving. And I said, you're hiding, you're looking at my own life. They knew the value of true what? Wealth. This wealth that would go beyond the grave with them. They know that that is a true wealth, and they want to be a part of that. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. They know the value of true wealth, and they don't, you know what they said to themselves? Paul, my things are too poor. We can't give nothing. We want to give. Although we're poor. Wow. They are an example for us, church. Verse 5. Not only did they give materially as we had hoped. This is what, you know, we can use the giving and tell us about ourselves now. But first, gave themselves to the Lord. That's the litmus test. How we give our money, you know, show the extent to which we have given ourselves to the Lord. Yes, it does. It shows the extent to which we have given ourselves to the Lord. Nothing else shows that, like our giving. We can do every kind of masking. But it's because we're so tight in material things. It's for some reason we can't mask that part. If I say that. When it comes to this worship now, we can try to mask every other aspect of worship, you know. So we can probably mask, you know, our singing, mask when we're taking communion, People think we're taking it the right way, or we're masking. We can't mask in our giving. And we don't mask it because if we are too tied to the material things, then we can't mask the giving. Are you following me? Because we are so tied to the material and physical things, that when you come for the church now to get something from us now, we can't give it fully. But did God behave like that to us? Did he spare his son? No. The Macedonians knew he did not spare his son. So they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us. No, that's important now. Because you might say, you know, we can't better get to the church, you know, because we don't get nothing for Brother Mitchell, let him get it. People talk like that, you know. And I get out to the church, and the church I get it, Brother Mitchell, I get it. You know? But the Bible says here, they gave themselves to us, and to us as his representatives, the Amplified Version, by the will of God. So your service to the Lord is tied up with the church. You can't split the church, Brother Bean, from carrying out the will of God. So yes, we give the money to the church and to Brother Mitchell and to the brothers and sisters, because they have to carry out the work of the what? Church. So we have to give to them. That's what you're saying. And it is by the will of God. Disregard, you know what this Christian did? The Amplified said, disregarding their personal interest and giving as much as they possibly could. Nobody not stopping you from putting your money into the investment account. Because God still wants you to be wise, you know, and prepare for yourself. You put your money in your investment account, put your money in your bank, savings account, but do not leave the church undone. Do not leave the church undone. Don't make God bless you, make Satan deceive you when you get the blessings and turn it the other way. We have to do better in our giving. Malachi 3, 8 to 10. Our giving also shows us how we can, our lack of faith, we have to learn to depend on God. Dependent. Our giving shows our faith and our dependence, Fabian. That's what it shows. Because verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, them ask him, how we rob you? You know, it just answer, you rob me in the tithes and the offerings. Tell them straight, you rob me in the tithes and the offerings. Because you see, they could have masked that part, you know. They couldn't mask that part because they were so tied to the material things. So they couldn't think of giving to God. Verse 9. Don't let God not do this to us. You are cursed with a what? Curse. For you have robbed me. Even this whole nation. Don't let God curse us, church. We know enough in ourselves, in our hearts, that we may have robbed God. So let him not put a curse on us. The actual curse might not come today, might not come tomorrow, but it's coming down somewhere down the line. We don't want that curse of God to come to us. So we need to start giving right. Verse 10 says, bring ye all the tithes, not some, into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. You know what God says here now? And prove me. That's what we need to do. Our giving needs to prove God. And prove me now, hear it, said the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the window of what? Heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. We need to test God on these things. And I'm not talking about what they call the gospel again, Fabian. I'm not talking about the I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. God in his word says he will bless us. Don't hold back. When you're holding back a blessing. God wants to bless us abundantly. But we must have the right healthy attitude to material things. When we have the healthy right attitude, God will know, okay then, Brother Gilbert can use this blessing now in the right way. Because he has a healthy attitude to material things. But when you don't have the healthy attitude to material things, he will have to withhold his blessings from you. Because you're going to let Satan now tempt you to keep back things from God. I really hope that this lesson would have helped all of us, to give as we are really prospered, so that we can get even more blessings from God, and that the work of God can continue without being handcuffed, and that we can have a healthy relationship. I was talking to Fabian on the phone, well, texting him, and I was saying to him that most likely Sunday morning coming, I had another lesson, but I think I want to continue this one in another area of it if I speak next week Sunday morning. I'm not sure yet, don't make up my mind yet, which lesson I would prepare for you, because I have a lesson that I long time want to share with my Sunday morning audience. I might still do that one. But church, let us please be mindful, using Earl Sterling word again, be mindful of our acts of worship, and particularly the act of what? Giving. In particularly that one. Because that one is the one that Satan can use, Andrea, to ensnare us, to trap us, to get us off track. Let's not put the mask over our eyes and nose and mouth when it comes to our giving. Let's unmask ourselves and give it right way. The right way. That God will bless us with a prayer tremendously. He says he will. So we have to have the faith that he will. Let's not hold back. He will bless us. When we say, okay, I have this money now to pay this bill this month, and this bill going to you, and this bill going to you, God will bless us, and we pay every bill, and we wonder what happened. And we have more. Just test him. Prove him. And can share. Test him. Prove him. Prove him. And we have Christians who are proving him, you know. So it is not just in the Bible days it's happening. It's happening now. People have proven him. Prove him. He will bless you. He'll bless you abundantly. Abundantly, more than you can ever dream of. I'm going to stop here. Michael is going to come and give the invitation to you. Don't, if you know that you need to improve in your giving, and you need prayers in that regard, don't let Satan deceive you. Sometimes you need the help of the brotherhood, the prayers of the brotherhood. Step forward, ask for prayers in this particular area, because all of us need help in different areas. Nobody is immune from Satan's trickery and deceitfulness. Michael, you can come.